Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
This is the biggest disaster of a show open, and I love it.
Sports Talk Saturday.
Like, you wanted to have your discussion about, like, the sports movies thing and High School Musical being a de facto sports movie.
Yes, I did catch wind.
Which then drew the ire of Evan on Saturday last week.
Yeah, it had me making shots from the foot of the stage on an actual net. And after each shot was, he shoots, he scores. If I missed, the whole thing is derailed.
You are either Steph Curry or this whole thing is ruined.
Yeah.
On WGR.
I have personal. Evan, yeah. Do you take anything back?
No.
It's okay. He's dying on the hill. It's fine.
Sports Radio 550.
Welcome into Sports Talk Saturday. We are soaring, maybe even flying, into this show here for your weekend. The last Sports Talk Saturday of 2024. Even Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly, together yet separated today. Joe has to do the show from home.
Yes. It's unfortunate. I don't get to see your smiling face after the holidays. But we work with what we can.
We work with what we can. And what else do we have here? Well, we have just a little preview for you. Trevor Hauer. He does a lot of stuff with our sister station, with traffic, with News Radio 930 WBEN. He's going to do a little Bandits hit with us later on in the show. So I figured I would at least bring him over here real quick and get the band going.
Oh, Trev's in the building.
Trevor is in the building, and he doesn't know which headphone jack. The rookies, Joe. The rookies. We don't know what to do sometimes.
We got it. Don't worry about it.
All right, he's got it. He's got it. He's in. All right, so, guys, with New Year's Eve coming up, typically everyone has plans, unless, you know, you're the poor Sabres radio network and you have to work the Dallas game with an 8 o'clock face-off on New Year's Eve. That said, we've all been to some sort of collection of friends or family or something of the other for New Year's. And I guess this is more of a general question, not a New Year's Eve party question. But what do you bring into a party? What kind of thing do you bring to get everyone going, to get the spirit of a group of friends together? Like, some people will bring some sort of a video game. Some people will bring, like, Cards Against Humanity. Some people will, like, what do you bring? Joe, I'll start with you because I can't see you. What do you bring to a party to make sure that it's a good time?
Yeah, I'm like John Cena out here today. I don't know. I feel like the board games are always a good hit, right? I mean, I'm gonna tell you something here. You know Bean Boozled, you know what that is?
Oh, the jelly beans. Oh.
Yes, just did that at my family Christmas, and let's just say the urine has never smelled worse. It was absolutely terrible, but everyone enjoyed playing
it. Why is that a bean? Oh no.
What? No. I mean, like, the. Oh, I don't know if I want to get too TMI here, but my urine smelled from the beans. You know what I mean? Like, the smell from the bean didn't go away as it exited, like, as it broke down.
Okay.
You know?
I thought that there was a urine-flavored bean, which is
no,
worse.
No, but there was a dead fish one, a barf one, and those two were the notorious get you out on the first go, you know?
That put a bad feeling right down my spine, actually.
Yeah, you get a little shiver up the spine. They had a stink bug one, too. That was pretty bad. But
that does seem like a fun party
like
thing.
That.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
It's going to make the room smell, though. It's going to make the room really stink.
Oh, it did. It did. It
so you
got to
open a window
either.
Or something? Ew.
That's probably a summertime game, then, because you can open the windows, go outside.
Play it outside, period.
Die.
Yeah. We were sticking our heads
choke,
in the turkey
maybe?
To smell something better.
Collapse on the ground. You know, at least you have grass to do that. I don't know.
Vomit if you have to.
Trevor.
Yes.
What do you bring to a party to ensure a good time?
Can I bring two things?
Yes.
I'll bring one dish to pass. Usually like maybe a bag of chips. Would that work?
Okay. Yeah. But like food is something that you should bring to a party. That's just etiquette.
I think you nailed it, though, when you say Cards Against Humanity. If if you want a game that's going to make people roll, like literally ROFL. It's that one.
Okay.
But you got to understand, you got to read the room too. What is the humor of the room?
You got to know your friends. You got to know the people that are friends of your friends.
So it's a strategy game too. It's also a strategy game.
And I think that for me, the Jackbox games is a kind of a great mesh of both.
Yes.
Because there are some of those that like they have like the creative that you could tap into. But also you have what Trevor said, the testing of the audience, testing the friends of friends. You don't know that person, but they know your buddy.
Yep.
And it's almost a reflection on them if you seem like a jackass.
Yeah. But if you can take a slight shot at someone, would they get offended? Would they not?
Yes.
That's sort of like the strategy that goes into the game.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
You gotta play with people who can take a punch.
Yes.
Not literally, but I mean, quiplash is a game of.
Oh, maybe yes. Sometimes the way that game ends, you could be actually throwing punches.
My favorite one of those is that TKO. You get to draw T-shirts.
Yes.
And
or funny. The murder mystery one. That one's a good one too.
I'm terrible at trivia. I just always lose that game. Awful at trivia. The worst.
So there's a really scary one that you should not play with your family, and that's Monster Seeking Monster. It's like the dating one. You know what I'm talking about?
I haven't heard of that.
So it's absolutely horrifying.
Do tell.
Especially if you have like a player in the ranks somewhere, you know what I mean? Like just absolutely disgusting, vile things sent back and forth, text messages.
Oh,
you're trying
no.
to woo these other players into dates, and it's all anonymous, right?
Oh, so and you can get really... You can get really
raunchy,
weird and awkward
terrible.
With them.
Just yeah, like, especially if it's like your aunt.
Just
it's not a family game.
I'll pass.
But that's, not a family game.
But that's to throw them off, though. That's the idea.
It's supposed to be vile, yes.
Yes, it's to throw you off. but yes, I think that the Jackbox games, they've nailed it at this point with party games. But also, I will always bring at least a board game with me.
Yeah.
And it's my nerdy tastes combined with knowing my friends at this point. There was an old game in the 1990s called Pokemon Master Trainer.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm.
And that game gets Monopoly or Risk levels of heated.
Oh, tables being flipped,
imagine.
Boards
yes.
being flipped.
You're all like yelling and flipping each other off.
Because, way to bring in the new year.
Because you forced a trade of my best mon and I have to go fight Gary now with like a Jigglypuff.
That's great.
See, I love that.
That's great.
I think, truthfully,
animosity.
The best thing you could possibly do.
Can we bring
throw
in,
down the Pathfinder table?
Bring in the new year with a fight, right?
Yeah, bring in
gloves are off.
Or ready? Bring in a retro game system. This is how you know your friendships are rock solid. If you bring GoldenEye to a party.
Oh, nice.
Oh, and they ported it. It's on newer consoles now. I just played it on my Xbox.
If
so,
you bring GoldenEye to a party, you are either saying, I want to make new friends, or I know I have these friends.
I would be that guy that brings an actual Sega Genesis, like the full old one.
Yes.
NHL 93.
Yes. Well,
if they get excited
for me, it's 94.
About...
I don't know why. That one's always the more superior of the two games.
Because of the soundtrack. That's why.
I think it's because of the one-timer.
Oh, that's
both
true. Or the blood. When you fight someone, there's blood.
The invention of the, not the invention of it, but like the execution of the one-timer being accessible in 94 makes it different.
Nothing will beat the first line. Andruchuk, LaFontaine, McGillney,
yes.
Unstoppable.
The Sabres are kind of unstoppable if you have the line changes off.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you just play with the top line at all times. Yeah. Yes. I think that would be pretty good. If that we could do that in real life, maybe. I don't know.
But yeah, that was what I wanted to do here to open things up was because, you know, New Year's is around the corner and everyone's got their thing. Like, what do you do to bring the party? What do you do to help bring everyone together for a little bit? Because, like, at every party, there's always going to be, like, sectioned pockets of people talking, depending on the size of the gathering that you're at. But what do you do to bring them all together is basically what it is. And for me, I think it's... For me, I think it's the retro games, but even then, that's not for everyone.
Yeah.
But the party games are a great way to at least get everyone around, or at least if they're not actively participating, they're looking like, oh, what did he play over there?
I have a question for you both. I have a question for you both.
Bees?
I'm a big. You know, I come from a big Italian family. If you can't tell by my name. And there's no such thing as a quick goodbye. You got to go around, you got to say goodbye to every single person,
right? That's so true.
Yep.
I am such a big fan of the Irish goodbye, though. Just like, that was my grad party move.
You're too young.
All times. I just disappeared without a trace.
You're too young for that to be in the pocket right away, man.
Dude, I love it, though. It's just because it's so against my nature and like what I've done my entire life. Just leaving is like the best feeling ever.
Sneaking out the back door.
Probably like, oh, where'd he go? Where's Joe?
I've learned I'm incapable. I'm incapable of that. Like, you guys saw it at the holiday party a couple weeks ago. Like, I ended up saying bye to everyone.
Yeah, you said bye like three times. You were floating around for a while.
I do that. That's the problem. I'll see someone and I'll just like talk with them one last time. And then, all right, I got to force myself out of here. And that's what it gets to is like, I am so bad at leaving that I then have a hard shutdown of, you got to now say goodbye in front of everyone and leave. Not to see everyone see you leaving, but for you to get the heck out of there.
I have the same problem.
You have to, it's not to tell everyone that I'm leaving. It is for me to tell me that I'm leaving and tell all of you, if I stick around, if I stand here any further, kick me out. Like, this is
Shove
me out the window at that point because I said I need to leave and now I'm not listening to me.
I mean, if it makes you feel any better, That party really it ended like 10 minutes after you walked out. So you know, nothing was really missed.
Any party ends 10 minutes after I leave.
I was going to say, Joe, were you calling him the pulse of the party? Was he the heartbeat that was keeping it alive?
I'm a glue guy. I'm the third line glue guy. I'm the third line glue guy. I keep it together.
The grinder.
Everyone needs him.
He's Casey Middlestad right here.
Everyone needs
him. Traded him.
I was going to say he's like Paul Gostad, Adam Mayer, Andrew Peters.
Oh, now we're getting to the Derek's bad at hockey, and I can agree with this.
No, but you're the heartbeat that keeps him alive. Who do you think is the one that's the ultimate hype man in the locker room? It was Petey Primetime for sure.
Yeah, there we go. So, yeah, no, I always have fun with these kinds of discussions, especially because it is topical with, you know, these sorts of parties will be gathering in the next couple of days, or you've already had them with your Christmas parties as well. So it's fun to get the human element of it. So for all you out there, if there's something that what do you bring to the party? Go ahead and tweet it at Derek Kramer 49 at the Joe Cali on Twitter. Still never calling it X, and
it's still twitter.com. Oh no, it's not.
If you type in twitter.com, it'll take you to x.com.
Yes, if you type in twitter.com, it takes you there. Therefore, vis-a-vis. It's Twitter.
Yeah, the root of the equation is still Twitter.
The root of the equation is still there, so I'm going to say that's where it is. Trevor, we'll talk to you in a little bit.
Sweet.
But thank you for jumping in here on the Bant.
Of course. Thanks for having me on.
There we go. That's Trevor Howard. You'll hear from him in a bit, as we'll have a Bandits report. Trevor and Joe, they've got press creds. They will be at these games, so we're going to be checking in with them on a regular routine basis with the Buffalo Bandits throughout the year.
Can't wait.
803-0550 is the number to call. We've got plenty to go over here today. As Evan had in the update, Bills tomorrow, Sabres last night. It seems like over the last two games, they've taken all of their problems from the 13 loss streak, and they have turned it into everyone else's problem, taking the rage out, at as you could say, because over the last two games, Joe, how many goals did they score?
Over the last two games, you're going to make me do quick math on the radio. I don't do math in public.
No, I'll tell you right now. It's 13. Oh. It was the number of games that they lost.
Yeah, great.
Seven goals against the Islanders, six against the Blackhawks, They have taken their rage and frustration out on the two teams that were in their way, and they got the win column back for Christmas.
Mm-hmm. But the Canadiens still squeak it out. Crazy.
But they have a lot of work to do, and possibly a season loss. As for the Bills, oh, I want the playoffs to get here as soon as possible because, man, this MVP discussion, this MVP discourse has gotten to a point where I am not willing to listen anymore. And I have a controversial take about that that I'm going to leave you with on the teaser. Maybe it's for the best that Allen just doesn't win it this year. We'll have that and more coming up here on Sports Talk Saturday. You're listening to WGR.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If Josh Allen leaves and gets knocked out of the playoffs and he wins MVP, he's probably going to see that as a successful season because he proved that he didn't need a number one. If Lamar Jackson gets an MVP and loses, he'll view that as a disappointment. So that lets you know probably how the two even views their success with the MVP differently.
ESPN's Bart Scott on...
What?!
That, those were words that were said, and he got paid to say, must be nice. Must be nice to get a contract with ESPN and say that.
I can't believe that. That's outrageous.
Welcome to my Joker arc, Joe.
Do you see what Spencer Brown said? Like, he just said, well, like his response on Twitter, and then I'll come back with what he has later.
If you have the clip, go find it.
Yeah.
So basically, cue me up when you have that clip up. All right, so you got it right there. Oh, not yet. Okay. He gave me a thumbs up saying cue me when you got it, and then I misread that as he's got it already. And I'm like, oh.
That was an affirmative thumbs up. Yeah, that was, we got you.
He was like, okay, that's fine. Not, oh, yeah, I've already got it. So I was like, oh, all right. He's on his game here. Not that he's not. but. Yeah, no, I don't. This is the MVP discourse is getting to a point where you're being forced to eat your least favorite food every day.
Did he really say if the Bills don't make the playoffs?
No, if they get kicked out of the playoffs.
Oh, and Allen wins the MVP. It's a win for him. Yeah. Okay. Now I get it.
Yeah.
I was gonna say they clinched a while ago. They were the first team to clinch. I don't know what this guy's talking about, but
yeah,
that makes more sense now.
But it still doesn't make any sense. That's the part that I have a problem with is at this point, the talking heads are getting to levels of, I don't want to say toxicity necessarily. It's typically been reserved for the fan bases when it comes to you got to tear a guy down in order to build another guy up. But it's happening there too. Ryan Clark yesterday saying something along the akin to it would be like when when Charles Barkley won the MVP in the NBA, and it's like, no, that's not that. People seem to be losing what the word valuable means.
Exactly.
And last year, the spirit of it kind of came out. Lamar Jackson was proving to be the most valuable player on that team because when the Bills stormed back and took the East in the 2 seed, Josh Allen didn't have to be Superman anymore. So, it almost worked and made sense. But if you're going to argue the numbers, well, the Cowboys were the 2 seed, and Dak Prescott had the most impressive numbers. It's the best of both worlds. And yet, Dak Prescott didn't even get a first-place vote from any of the voters.
Yeah, the Charles Barkley thing really just rubs me an interesting way, because then you're implying that Lamar Jackson is Michael Jordan, and I think Michael Jordan is a different quarterback in the NFL, especially Lamar has 2 playoff wins, and I know that's not an MVP stat, but like, let's hold our horses here on calling someone Michael Jordan.
And I think it's also this year where if you have 2 MVP candidates, you have 0.
Yeah.
Because Derrick Henry has been just as integral of a part of that team as Lamar Jackson. Not as. Let's not. I'm not going to discredit Lamar Jackson here because I want to make sure I'm embodying the spirit of what I want to say. But it does hurt an argument when you have a player like Derrick Henry making the impact that he does. It is a symbiotic relationship, though. Lamar Jackson's presence and his passing numbers are making it easier for Derrick Henry to not have to run with a full box. You give Derrick Henry seven players in the box, good night. That's just bad juju coming for you all around. And the presence of Derrick Henry will also help Lamar Jackson in ways. But that's not to discredit what he's done. Jackson is putting up numbers that are absolutely disgusting this year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's all-time quarterback stats he's putting up this year. But
and now, let's get back to the spirit of what it's supposed to be about. The most valuable player.
Yeah.
And if I take Lamar Jackson off of the Baltimore Ravens, as they currently are, they have Derrick Henry. And they can do a lot with a player like that. Still, he's clearly showing that he's perfectly fine. If I take Derrick Henry off the Ravens, Lamar Jackson's still putting up double-digit wins.
Oh, absolutely.
In a vacuum, if I take one of these players off of the Ravens, I think they're obviously worse without Jackson there. But they're not that much worse. They're not.
No.
Because they have someone that would help keep them afloat in Derrick Henry. You're not winning the North. Let's get that clear. You're probably fighting at the six at this point. That's fine.
Their defense has also played very well since the beginning of the season when they moved Hamilton back to safety.
Yes.
You know, like their defense has been very good.
Which is a problem, of course.
Right.
When it comes
But I mean, Josh Allen scored 42 points and that wasn't enough 1 week because, you know what I mean? Like, I think there's a difference as well.
And there comes the spirit of it. If I use this with Saquon Barkley, if I take Barkley off of the Eagles, they have Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, and Devontae Smith on a powerful offense that is inconsistent at times when Hurts is not on his A game. But right. They're still a winning football team. However, I could look at you took him off the Giants and they became a train wreck because they were a train wreck and Barkley was covering it up. So there is a little bit of an exercise there with Saquon Barkley. Derrick Henry, the same thing. You take him off the Titans and they're a laughingstock. If I take Lamar Jackson off of the Baltimore Ravens, based on how they're currently constructed, I'm not going to say that they are as good because that's blasphemy. But they're fighting for a playoff spot. They're not in one. If I take Josh Allen off of the Buffalo Bills, considering what the defense has done as of late, I don't want to fathom what they look like.
No. I think you'd be, take a look back 10 years, and that might be what they look like.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
I don't need to think about that.
We've already lived it.
We've already lived it before, and I don't want to live that again, so I'm not going to. And that's where most valuable is, because all these players are playing at a top-tier level. That's why they're in the MVP conversation. Even more so, Cincinnati. They are currently alive in a playoff spot. They're 7-8. If I take Joe Burrow off of that team, they're a 3-win team. Maybe. Their defense has been bad this year.
Oh, yeah. And here's the thing. I think this, if Burrow had a better record, if the Bengals had a better record, Burrow would be MVP, arguably MVP front runner.
Correct. And it would not be close, I don't think.
No, it would not be close.
But that said, even with him this year, it has not been enough. And it shouldn't fall into his fault because their offense has been incredible. Their defense has been that putrid to where even with him doing what he's doing, it's not enough.
They're the fifth worst defense
in the National Football League in points against. Wow.
Yeah. So no, I'm just sick of the toxicity of the award. I'm tired of it.
It is getting to that point where it's I'm now going to. I don't want Allen to win it now. Let him be Drew Brees. Because you know what Drew Brees was?
A Super Bowl champion,
but also a top-tier player who is one of the most exciting players to watch with an offense that becomes one of the most fun to watch, and it drives in the ratings, it drives people to them, it makes a team like the New Orleans Saints a lovable commodity to follow.
Absolutely.
And I look at the Buffalo Bills, and I think this is a lovable commodity for people to follow because they are the team that presses Kansas City. They are the team that has Josh Allen in this exciting offense because he makes it that way. And he makes some sort of like wild, wacky, and goofy play that somehow works at least three times in a game. Lamar Jackson does it too. And honestly, I kind of don't want Allen to get it because of the fact that like people are already saying like Ryan Clark saying it's a voter fatigue thing. If people are going to actually give it to Allen based on voter fatigue, then it's not worth having because it's illegitimate at that point. It's just your turn. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in turns. That's not, and they don't either. They shouldn't. It's I'm bored of picking this guy, blah, blah, blah. Like Patrick Mahomes is here. He's played so poorly to start this season that he's not in the conversation. Quietly, he's been putting numbers together again, much to the chagrin of me and everyone else around the world. But it is still, like, he is still someone who could be nominated for that if he doesn't play as awful as he did to start the year. Because if I take Patrick Mahomes off the Kansas City Chiefs, they're not 15-1, but the way that he played to start the year, how much does it really cost him?
Mm-hmm.
So,
and the argument that record means something too. Look at the Ravens. I guess I don't want to be that guy, but
no. Ready? I don't even want wins included in this. It's part of why Allen was a front runner for a while is because he had the record in the division title versus where Jackson did not. And yeah. This is where they screwed it up last year. Wins are a team stat. They still are. They always will be. Because a player does not dictate what happens around the rest of the field when he's not on it. Look at Joe Burrow.
Yeah, I wish that was really the thinking, because then Joe Burrow probably would be the MVP frontrunner, just looking at him, you know?
You do need to have some success. Like, you do need to be successful in order to, like, as a team, you do need to have some success in order to be eligible for the award. But it should not be the end-all, be-all. And that is last year where they screwed it up. Because Prescott had better numbers, and if you took Dak Prescott off of that team, there's a heavy difference that gets made. If you take Lamar Jackson off of that team last year, though, they're a mess. It's tricky. It's always going to be tricky getting these votes right. My problem with last year's voters, other than the comeback player of the year, my problem with last year's voters has to do with the fact that it was near unanimous. In a year where nobody wanted to win it, seemingly.
Yeah.
McCaffrey's a player that you could look at and say, that's probably the most legitimate that we've had for a non-quarterback since, what, 2012?
That's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah, the last year was the year for a non-quarterback to win the award because no quarterback was unanimously an MVP candidate.
And
there was no shot.
You take Christian McCaffrey off of last year's 49ers, they're not that team.
Nope.
Not at all. And you saw it to start the year.
And when he came out of the Bills game, look at how that game changed.
That game changed on its head because Christian McCaffrey was playing really well to start, and then they lose him, and all of a sudden, like, yeah, Jordan Mason did okay, but he's not Christian McCaffrey. It's simple to look at this point, almost elementary, that the V in MVP is still supposed to be the spirit of what they're doing. And this year, there are people arguing for Lamar because he has the numbers. If you want to make Lamar Jackson be the guy who collects all these MVPs, fine. If that's what you want him, if that's what the media wants him to be, that's okay. That's okay. That is okay to me. because Jackson, like Allen, still has something to do with his legacy in the postseason against a certain team in Kansas City. They have ruined a lot of legacies already, and we're in year 7 of it. But Allen and Jackson have an uphill battle to climb. But I'm really getting to a point where Zach Jones sold me on this. Since 1999, only two people have claimed the MVP and a Super Bowl in the same year. In 1999, mm-hmm. that was Kurt Warner. And in 2022, it was Pat Mahomes, because of course it was.
Yeah, why wouldn't it be? Why, the writing's on the wall with that one.
Why wouldn't he be the guy that does it? Because he's breaking a lot of people's chances at establishing themselves early on in their careers.
Yeah. And you know, this argument I'm seeing, Derek, that really does bother me. Not bother me, but it just, whatever. It'd be a shame not to award an MVP to the man rewriting NFL history, talking about Lamar Jackson, because 121.6 season passer rating, that's number 2 behind Aaron Rodgers, 6,110 career rushing yards, most behind Michael Vick. And truthfully, that, I mean, they could be closer now. I don't know if that's like the most up to date, but that was, I mean, that metric's from December 27th. So I think it is. They played on Christmas. So,
yep.
It's not like Allen's not rewriting history either, right? Only quarterback with pass, rush, receiving touchdown in a game. Only player since 1950 with 3 pass, 3 rush touchdowns in a game. Most wins by the age of 28. Most touchdowns in a player's first 7 seasons. And he's going to be most likely the only player with 5 consecutive 40-plus touchdown seasons. Like, it's not just... They're both kind of rewriting history. That argument to me is moot.
Yeah.
What do you think?
It is. The thing is that they're both incredible. And I've now gotten to a point where I'm going to try to, like, I'm begging fans not to engage against Ravens fans at this point.
Yeah, disengage. It's almost like the Nick Wright clickbait with the Chiefs. Like, just disregard. It's only to get under your skin. That's all it is.
It is to get a reaction, especially the national media takes like that. Like, First Take is a show that is supposed to piss you off.
Yeah, it's got Take in the name, and it's got Stephen A. Smith as the head of it. Of course it is.
Yeah, and no matter who's on it, the elementary basis of First Take is to make you get angry at a take. It is what the show is about.
Undisputed, same thing, like all of those shows.
Yeah.
It's presenting a take that it might be a little hot for the average viewer and making them upset about it.
And to a point where I'm sold that there are people arguing a certain take on the other side that don't believe it. The minute Max Kellerman said, "Give me Iguodala," that's where I go, okay, yeah, no, you don't believe that. You don't really believe that. And any time that Skip Bayless talked was like, I'd rather punch myself in the face. He was the first person I ever blocked on social media, just so that I wouldn't see his takes, ever. So it is becoming this bad faith argument for the MVP, and we need to have a healthier discourse. I joked with Zach on Tuesday when I was in it with him for Shelton Bulldog that Bills and Chiefs fans at this, I mean, Bills and Ravens fans are just yelling at each other. And then the Chiefs fans chime in, oh yeah, well, Patrick Mahomes is better than both of them anyway.
Oh my God.
And in unison, the Bills and Ravens fans screaming at each other, turn and go, shut up! And then go back to yelling at each other.
It's like that scene from Ted where they're yelling out the window at each other.
Yep.
And then the other guy comes out and tells them to be quiet.
Yep. And then they start yelling at that guy. And then they go back to yelling at each other. It's like,
yeah, they're like, why are we even fighting? I don't know. And then they just keep going.
Yeah. But it's just one of those things where it really should be, go yell at the Chiefs fan. Just yell at that guy. Say we have a cool quarterback and that they do too. It's okay to say that. That's the part of the discourse that I hate, is when you have to tear a guy down to build another guy up. And I did some of that slight when I say, you know, when you have two MVP candidates, you have zero. Because there is some sort of an argument that has to be had.
Well, that was the argument with Saquon, right?
But like, I want to make sure that I say, Lamar Jackson very well could and should win this MVP this year. And Josh Allen has to have a good game against the Jets. Because if he doesn't, it's over.
Oh, yeah. He's got to put the Jets in the ground.
He's got to put the Jets in the ground. And honestly, last week, how bad it was against New England, it doesn't help. It doesn't help. Like, yeah, it's a what have you done for me lately, especially in a media circuit where it's in the moment, more so than ever, that having that kind of a dud doesn't help you. It doesn't help the case. That should be very easy to say. The fact that people were saying in week 15 of the National Football League with another three whole games to go, the MVP race is over, was highly dismissive.
Yeah. We both said it, Derek. We knew it was going to come around the other direction.
Yeah.
That's a little premature to say it's done, over, kaput.
Because nothing is ever done until the end of the regular season. Come on. Like, even
it ain't over till the fat lady sings, man.
Even
like,
me
that's
saying,
just how it is.
Even me saying, like, you know, Allen has to have a good game against the Jets or else it's over. That's kind of a definitive statement there as well. But if the Bills win and Allen doesn't necessarily have a good showing, he's not going to get on the field for another one. Because the Bills will have wrapped up the two seed, and it will be they're going to not play him the whole game.
Yeah, that'll be his final performance, arguably.
It would be his final full game performance.
Yeah, of the regular season.
And it would probably be Lamar Jackson's, because they would be locked into the three.
Right. Why not take a bye week when you can, essentially, right? Like, that's what that's going to be.
Oh, wait, they would not be locked into the three. They don't have the North clinched.
Oh, yeah, Pittsburgh's still fighting.
Yeah, Pittsburgh's still fighting. And it's basically if they lose and Pittsburgh wins. So Lamar Jackson will have to be on the field one more time anyway for the full game. But Josh Allen might not be.
No, I would hope he's not if they clinch the two. And please.
And context needs to matter here. But again, it's tough to have these arguments without seeing people tearing down a guy to build another one up. And it's very, very annoying to see when it is now the national media having to say these things.
Yeah.
So
it just gets old quick.
It's not healthy, basically, is what it's turning into. Disengage for your own mental health's sake and enjoy the two players there because they are fantastic. And you know what they also aren't? Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. There should not be as high of a level of annoyance with Lamar Jackson, or even Joe Burrow, I should say, as there is. Because at this moment, throughout their careers, they're on the same tier. And there's one dude and one team that everyone should just stop your fight and go yell at that guy. Like in the movie Ted.
Yes. Phenomenal film.
Who does he think he is? Buttoning his business. Buttoning into our business. This is our fight. Like,
yeah.
We should be going after the obnoxiousness of Chiefs fans and their 15-1 record and their voodoo devil magic.
Yeah, remember when we were united by the common enemy?
Yes. We need to be reunited by the common enemy. So for Bills fans and Sabres fans, Bills fans and Ravens fans, unite against
France and USA. That's what it is.
Unite
France and the colonies.
Unite against the common enemy. Because that's the headache. Well, until you probably see each other in the divisional playoff round. Then we can get back at it.
I do have one more question for you.
Yeah.
I know that sounded like you were wrapping it up, but I just want to throw one more thing in there. So I've seen points being made as well. Yeah, the Bills fell to the Ravens. We all remember that game. But Derrick Henry was the terror, right? Like he was cutting through. The two best teams, arguably, in the NFL right now, the Lions and the Chiefs, their few losses, Chiefs only have one right now, and the Lions have two.
Mm-hmm.
The one common loss is to the Buffalo Bills. The Ravens, early in the season, played the Chiefs, fell to them, right?
They were a toe away.
Yes, they were a toe away. They were a Deion Sanders foot away from winning that game. But does that play into when you look at it, like when these voters look at it, the opponents, right? Like the two arguably best teams in the NFL have a common defeat in the Bills. Like, what do you think there?
I don't know if head-to-head is going to matter as much. I think this has to do more with,
and this is kind of a problem with MVP voters, is not all of them, for example, are national pundits. But even national pundits have a hard time watching every single game because that's the job. You have to have a base knowledge on every team. And if you're getting a base knowledge on every team, you're not going in depth with others. And even here, like Bills fans, like we have an in-depth knowledge.
Yeah, it's a smaller market. Everyone knows.
But watch other teams. You should. And quite frankly, it's better for you. Because then you get the context. You watch Lamar Jackson, and he does make amazing plays. His wide receivers do get themselves open sometimes because of what Jackson does in a backfield. And that's okay to say. It's okay to admit it. Like those separation scores, he does help them.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're doing a scramble drill at that point. And you can't, as a defensive back, predict that.
Right.
You can't scheme that. And the Bills have one of the lower separation scores with receivers this season. Allen's accuracy is closer to Jackson's than, quite frankly, it should be based on how far they are on the other side of the chart. How far apart they are on the x-axis, they are still very close on the y. And I don't know what else needs to be said other than appreciate these players. Because the Bills and the Ravens undoubtedly, irrefutably, got the best players of that draft class. And there is no argument against that.
No, not at all.
803-0550 is the number to call. We've got open show for you today, by the way, as we keep things going. But Derek Kramer, Joe Calley here with you. We picked apart the MVP debate and its process. What else can we turn our tides to here? What else becomes our target for the Booty Cheek of the Week coming up next here on WGR? Welcome back. Sports Talk Saturday and the Booty Cheek of the Week. What we were talking about the whole last segment could qualify, but I'm not a man that repeats himself. I'm not someone that's just going to go and take the low-hanging fruit of what I just talked about for 25 minutes. So, Joe, one of the biggest challenges with not being in the same building and not being face-to-face is I have no idea what you have.
Oh.
So, well, surprise me.
All right. So, you know, Christmas Day, lots of sporting events. Netflix played the NFL games, right? And they did a much better job than they did with the Mike Tyson fight.
Good.
There was, you know, no buffer. Maybe a couple times, but it was nothing as astronomically terrible as the Mike Tyson fight. But LeBron James is mine.
Really?
Cheek of the week. Yes, because he comes up to the broadcast after a primetime game, right, against the Golden State Warriors and goes, love the NFL, but Christmas is the NBA's day. And I'm just sitting there and I'm like, I got to look at these numbers real quick. The NBA in a primetime slot with no other competition other than the Christmas story running 24 hours pulled in 7.76 million viewers, the most watched NBA regular season game since 2019. Now you look at it, LA, right?
Yep.
Golden State Warriors.
LeBron that versus makes Curry. Sense.
Yes, LeBron versus Curry. That's a huge game. To say that it's the NBA's day, though, like, come on, let's think. Let's look at this now. Ravens, Texans, 24.3 million average viewers. And Chiefs, Steelers, 24.1 million average viewers. Get off the high horse. That's my booty cheek of the week. Like, what an unnecessary comment from LeBron James. Just, you know, again, sitting on his so-called throne.
Hang on.
That's where I'm at.
This is going to be the first time this happens, like, ever, probably, in the booty cheek of the week. I think he's right.
You think he's right?
I think so too.
I think he's right.
The NBA has all Christmas has always
it's always like, been an NBA tradition. Now the NFL is solely doing this for money and
right.
Also, Wednesday games are terrible for your product. Watching those excuses of football games
is a downright travesty. And even Thursday Night Football, we've had some good Thursday Night Football games this year, but it is clearly inferior to weekend ball. Stay with it. They never will because of money, but stay with it. And that is my problem, is that the NFL can take whatever they want when they want. Whenever they want it, whatever they want. They will be able to do that because we are in a cult. A way too many of us in the world population cult. If football's on, we're sickos and degenerates, and we'll just watch it even if it's terrible. So I think LeBron James is right. It is an NBA tradition, and it should stay that way, because if I have to watch Wednesday football again, let alone be one of the poor suckers that has to work, and I get 31-2 for the first time since 1965.
Yeah. Also, I think Christmas is on a Thursday next year.
And then follow it up with 6-3 on Thursday Night Football.
That was abysmal.
Was not happy because I had Geno Smith in my fantasy lineup.
In so a championship game. And Jackson Smith and Jigba as well. I had both of them. Terrible.
All right. For the sins of talking about your fantasy teams, I say womp womp. My booty cheek of the week, Joe, is me.
Oh, no. Oh, is it your Christmas shopping?
No. That was fine, actually. It was surprisingly a lot easier than I thought it was going
to be. You did it like 2 days before?
No, I actually was worse. I did it 1 day before. I stood in line on Christmas Eve because I did Extra Point Show with Zach Jones, and I was like, yeah, I have to go to the store after this.
Yikes.
But I only stood in line for like 10, 15 minutes. It wasn't that bad. The key was parking in a parking lot next to the store that I went to and walking over there. So it was kind of smart by me. No, the reason I'm pointing the blade at myself is, Joe, do you remember last week how excited I was for the college football playoff?
I do. Yeah, you're a big proponent.
And I was talking about it all throughout on the morning show that week leading up to it with Nate Geary.
Mm-hmm.
And what was I rewarded with? The closest game being 10-point difference on a margin, and that was because Indiana scored late to make it respectable. Not a great first showing for the CFP, but even worse by me for being fooled for a second time in this sports season by something that I loved the idea of and instead got the bad execution of. Looking at you, Sabres. So it's me for hyping it up. I goofed up. And I will not apologize, but I will say
it takes a lot.
The booty cheek of the week.
It takes a lot to do that.
Sometimes you got to stay humble.
I thought it was going to be your Christmas gifts. That's awesome to hear it actually went. You got your stuff, though.
Oh, so yeah, no. It was for bad planning, solid execution. So, speaking of execution, we need to get through and get back because we're late till the break. This is Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, Joe Calley, Evans on the board. You're listening to WGR.